بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت والا عارف باللہ رومی وقت تبریز دوران شیخ العرب العجم حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمت اللہ تعالی علیہ کا کلام مصن فیضان محبت. سوئے طیبہ چلے جب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے قدم, سوئے طیبہ چلے جب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے قدم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. جس سے چپکے تھے کل سینہ انبیاء, جس سے چپکے تھے کل سینہ انبیاء, میرے سینے کو حاصل ہے وہ ملتزم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. معجزہ ہے کہ آلات پیمانہ تھے, معجزہ ہے کہ آلات پیمانہ تھے, وسط دنیا میں ہے کعبہ محترم, وسط دنیا میں ہے کعبہ محترم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. اور بنوایا گھر اپنا یوں مختصر, اور بنوایا گھر اپنا یوں مختصر, سہل ہو تاکہ سب کو طواف حرم, سہل ہو تاکہ سب کو طواف حرم. ورنہ مالک اگر گھر بناتا بڑا, ورنہ مالک اگر گھر بناتا بڑا, کھا کے غش گرتے سب زائران حرم, کھا کے غش گرتے سب زائران حرم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. اپنے کعبے کا پھیرا کیا مختصر, اپنے کعبے کا پھیرا کیا مختصر, صاحب بیت کی ہے یہ شان کرم, صاحب بیت کی ہے یہ شان کرم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم, جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم. گو حرم کے پہاڑوں پہ سبزہ نہیں ہے, مگر دوست تو پاسبان حرم. ورنہ حاجی درختوں میں بیٹھے ہوئے, ورنہ حاجی درختوں میں بیٹھے ہوئے, کیمرے میں لیا کرتے باغ حرم, کیمرے میں لیا کرتے باغ حرم. رب کعبہ سے بھی اور کعبہ سے بھی, رب کعبہ سے بھی اور کعبہ سے بھی, دور کر دیتے ہم کو جبال حرم, دور کر دیتے ہم کو جبال حرم. ان پہاڑوں پہ بھی حفظ توحید کا, ان پہاڑوں پہ بھی حفظ توحید کا, رب کی جانب سے ہے انتظام حرم, رب کی جانب سے ہے انتظام حرم. یہ بھی ہجرت کا ایک راز تکوین ہے, یہ بھی ہجرت کا ایک راز تکوین ہے, ورنہ روزہ بھی ہوتا جوار حرم, ورنہ روزہ بھی ہوتا جوار حرم. قلب عاشق کے دو ٹکڑے ہوتے یہاں, قلب عاشق کے دو ٹکڑے ہوتے یہاں درمیان حرم روضہ محترم، درمیان حرم روضہ محترم، جا کے طیبہ میں دے سبز گنبد پہ جا، جا کے طیبہ میں دے سبز گنبد پہ جا، جا کے طیبہ میں دے سبز گنبد پہ جا، اور مکے میں ہو جا فدا حرم، اور مکے میں ہو جا فدا حرم. بت وطن کے بھی ہجرت سے سب گر گئے، بت وطن کے بھی ہجرت سے سب گر گئے، بت وطن کے بھی ہجرت سے سب گر گئے، سوئے طیبہ چلے جب نبی کے قدم، سوئے طیبہ چلے جب نبی کے قدم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم، جس زمین پر پڑے تھے نبی کے قدم. آپ کے گھر میں اختر کی حاضری، آپ کے گھر میں اختر کی حاضری، آپ کے گھر میں اختر کی یہ حاضری، ایک نا اہل پر ہے خدا کا کرم، ایک نا اہل پر ہے خدا کا کرم. میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم، میری قسمت کہاں یہ طواف حرم، جس زمین پر چلے تھے نبی کے قدم.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد. بیوٹیفل اشعار آف مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. سوئے طیبہ چلے جب نبی کے قدم، وین رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وینٹ ٹو مدینہ منورہ. حضرت حجرہ، میری قسمت کہا یہ طواف حرم، ہاؤ از اٹ مائی گڈ فارچن دس میکنگ طواف آف دا بیت اللہ، دا ہاؤس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ. دس از ریئلی مائی گریٹ فارچن. This is the same land upon which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's legs were placed on. Imagine where the Anbiya alayhi salam walked, and we sinful people walking on the same place. And if a person looks at this in a broader picture, every one of us, our deen that we have got the same deen which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had. The same beliefs which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had. We are so fortunate. Then our salah, every salat we are performing, our Fajr Salah, Salat of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Zuhar Salah, another Nabi of Allah, Asr Salah, another Nabi of Allah, Maghrib Salah, Muslaki Rahi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the certain salahs which they performed, as shukr to Allah ta'ala, gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the same sajda which they made, the same ruku which they made, Allah has granted it to us. What a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person becomes hafiz of Quran, what a great bounty. The past Anbiya alayhi salam, it was a speciality of them. When Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, after 100 years he slept and he woke up, people asked him, they wanted to know he is a Nabi of Allah, he is Uzair alayhi salam. So the examination they took of him was, they tested him, does he know the Torah of Bahad? So when he knew the Torah of Bahad, he said definitely he is a Nabi of Allah. Because only a Nabi of Allah can memorize the kitab. In the past it wasn't possible for a person to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a speciality of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So for a person to be a hafiz of Quran, and not only a full hafiz of Quran, even a portion of the hafiz of Quran, this is sufficient for a person that he's got a connection with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. What a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, by the way, I remember this one wazifa, one dua. If a person reads these 5 duas, these 10 ayats, there are 5 great benefits a person will get. The first 3 ayats in morning and evening, we should try and read this. The first 4 ayats of Surah Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Til Humul Muflihun. Second is Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum, and 2 verses after that, la ikraha fi din qad tabayyana rushdu minal ghayy. Those 3 ayat, and the last 3 ayat of Surah Baqarah, lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi in tubdu ma fi anfusikum. 10 ayat a person reads in the morning and evening. In the morning, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says that if a person reads these 10 ayat verses in the morning, lam yaqrabhu wa la ahlahu shaytan, shaytan won't come close to him and shaytan won't come close to his family members. So a person will be protected. Second thing is that he says that if anything which a person dislikes, shay'un yukrihu, a person will be safe from anything which he dislikes. Any some harmful things will come to his family, in his deen, in his dunya, inshallah, a person will be safe from that. And number three, he says, if a person is mad also, he will get ifaqah, he will come right from his madness. So if we are mad in love of dunya also, inshallah, if a person did it with that intention to come out of that madness, intoxication, a person will come out of it. And then Abdullah ibn Masood, in another narration, he mentions that who reads these 10 verses at night, then shaitan won't enter the house that whole night. And the point I wanted to mention is the fifth benefit, the student of Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu says, whoever reads these 10 verses, لم ينسى القرآن, he won't forget the Quran. If he's a hafiz of the Quran, inshallah, he won't forget the Quran. And if he's a non-hafiz of the Quran Sharif, then inshallah, he won't forget the nazar of Quran Sharif. Because just like forgetting the hifz of Quran is wrong. But to forget the nazar of Quran, if Allah has bestowed a person who can read the Quran Sharif, and then he forgets it, what a great bounty Allah had given him that he was able to read Quran Sharif. And because of his negligence, he forgot it. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I never saw a more greater sin and a more severe sin, because the highest level of nashukri, ungratefulness, that he forgot how to read Quran Sharif after learning how to read Quran Sharif. So this is a very, very severe sin. So inshallah, by reading these verses, a person will be safe from forgetting the Quran Sharif. So this is one very easy way to remember the Quran. Obviously, you must make dua also with it. But if a person reads these 10 verses, so what a great bounty Allah has given us. Where is it our ability and capability to become hafiz of Quran? If you just think, how can I memorize hafiz voice 3 pages, 5 pages, sometimes they sit for half an hour. And you try to read English also, you can't memorize in half an hour, 1 page, 2 pages. But you see the hafiz voice sitting in small, small ages. What a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Now a person goes to Haramain Sharifain, especially Makkah Mukarramah. How many Amiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are buried in that area? How many of them, their footsteps, their Mubarak legs were in that area? And now us filthy people, we are going there. So this, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Mullah Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the first part, Meri Kismat Kaya Tawaf Haram. He said, wherever he reads it, when a person is making Tawaf of Kaabatullah, then inshallah Allah will give him the tawfiq of going every year. And it's the tajruba and experience. When they were making Tawaf of the Haram, they used to read this. And then he said, every year Allah Ta'ala gave, some people tried it out, every year Allah gave him the tawfiq of going for Umrah, or going to the Haramain Sharifain, when a person is making Tawaf. So Hazrat says, where is it, my kismat, my fortune? The place where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's feet were, Allah gave me the tawfiq and ability to travel on those places, to traverse those places. So really, we should make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these great, great bounties of deen which Allah has given us. Hazrat says, jisse chipke the kal seene anbiya, mere seene ko hasil hai wo multazam. The same place where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their chest touched yesterday. Today, my chest also, that multazam, I'm also pressing my chest against there. The same place which they had touched, I am so fortunate, I can touch those places. And when it is a thing of love. Because if a person has got love, then even the alley where his beloved walked in, the alley which the beloved saw, or the beloved touched that place, automatically in this world also a person loves somebody, whether it's a haram woman, etc. How a person goes mad just to walk past the alley of that person. And if he knows that my beloved has sent me a chocolate, or my beloved has sent me some food or something, how excited a person gets. This is the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam supposed to be the most beloved to us. Where they just touch, we also suppose we touch that place. What a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even greater, a person brings Zamzam water. Zamzam water, one, it is a very Mubarak and blessed water, which the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha. But together with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he drank from the Zamzam water, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his Mubarak water back in there. So when we are drinking the leftover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, because that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's leftover has gone back into the Zamzam. So he mixes up with the Zamzam. So it's not only the water of Jannat, the water of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam sacrifice, but it is even the leftover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Normally a buzruk drinks, how we run for that water, we want to drink it. When we are drinking Zamzam, we must know that this is the leftover of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, they touch those places. And we are putting our chest also to those places. That is why Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi is famous about him. And Medina Munawwara, that time was quite small, but compared to now, where the Masjid al-Nabawi is now, that was the whole Medina Munawwara in his time. But whenever he used to go to relieve himself, he used to walk on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, not even in Medina Munawwara. He says, because what happened is the Anbiya alayhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his footsteps were, Mubarak footsteps were on this place here, and I am relieving myself here. It's the other way, just respect. And many of our other akabir also, they felt, especially in those times, they were sand. They said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked here, how disrespectful for me to walk with my shoes. When we were there, Maulana Yunus Zayed Sahib, Daul Barakatum, said that even on the white marble, as far as possible, it's adab and respect. It's not for as wajib or anything like that. Eh? And we don't do it as a sunnah, but it's adab and respect. We shouldn't walk with our shoes there also. You see, because this is what's part of Medina Munawwara, the original Medina Munawwara. So take out your shoes. And it's nothing difficult, there's no pain, difficulty a person will go through. When Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotri Rahmatullah Ali went there, he took out his shoes and he started walking. And there was a few miles they were walking from out of Medina Munawwara. So So his friends also saw him, so they wanted to make knuckles, imitate him, so they also took out their shoes. They say we walked a few steps, the thorn started pricking us, and we started bleeding, so quickly we put on our shoes back. But Maulana was in love, he didn't look at anything. He went there, even though his feet were bleeding or whatever, but the person who got the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah grant it to us a small fraction of that. Hazrat is here, mu'jiza hai ke ala ke peymanat hai, waste dunya mein hai, kaabe muhtaram. This is a miracle. That in that era, when there was no instruments of measuring, if somebody now measured, and you put the Kaaba Sharif in the middle of the exact middle of the earth, some geographians have worked out that the Kaaba Sharif is exactly in the dead center of the earth. That's where to learn from. No, we don't have to learn from them, but what our Kaabir have mentioned from before, that the first place of the earth, where it was only water before, and then eventually there was a bubble, and from there the Kaaba Sharif came out. It was the first place on the surface of the earth, and where Allah Ta'ala's special tajalli and special mercies and rahmat falls down, which spread throughout the world. And from there, this is Wasti Alam, the middle of the world. Awwali Alam, the first place of the world which came out. And Markazi Alam, it is the Markaz, it is the headquarters of the whole world. And this Kaaba Sharif is not only from here, but it's carrying on right till the seven heavens. There are different Kaabas in different levels, right to the last heaven, where Baytul Ma'mur is there. And the angels are making tawaf all the time. And Allah Ta'ala's special mercy is coming down. It is what Hazrat Qadir Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah says, even if a person is in space, he just has to face the direction of Kaaba, because the Kaaba, the barakat and blessings carry on straight through up. You don't have to face the earth from reading Salah, but you face straight, because the Kaaba is going. Similarly, if you go right in the depths of the ocean, the person is right down, he doesn't have to face up now, the surface of the earth, to face the Kaaba Sharif, because the Kaaba Sharif goes right through the earth also. So in the direction a person will have to face. So this is that Allah Ta'ala made it in the dead center of the earth, so that the barakat and the blessings of the Kaaba Sharif can spread throughout the earth. When it comes in, something is in the middle, then the rahmat is coming down specially there. Obviously those who are around the Kaaba Sharif, they will get the most amount of barakah and blessings. But then the barakat and blessings are spread out throughout the surface of the earth, on condition a person's heart is open towards it. Apna gar aur banwaya gar apna yu mukhtasar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his house very, very small. So it's easy for every single person to make tawaf of Haram Sharif. Warna Malik agar ghar banata bara. Otherwise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to make his house very, very big, khakar ghasht kirte sab zairani haram. Normally a person is a very, very wealthy person, so he builds a very big house. Person is a poor person, he builds a small house. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is king of the kings. So Allah ta'ala's house, according to our logic, supposed to have been massive, very, very big. But we find most of our houses are far bigger than Kaaba Sharif. So this was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted to, imagine Allah ta'ala made his house, like Kaaba Sharif, to show his greatness and grandeur in this earth, for me from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. So now we have to make seven rounds of tawaf. Our person, this says, kaake ghasht kirte sab zairani haram. Everyone will fall down flat. It's like a marathon. Maybe one, two people in the world will manage to make the waf of the Haram Sharif. How many months it will take for a person to go? But Allah has made it so mukhtasar, so small. This is the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala did not look at his azamah, his greatness and grandeur. But Allah ta'ala looked at our weaknesses. In every action, whether it's our salah or so, Allah says you are weak. 50 namazes was the actual demand. The whole day you're supposed to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my bandas, you're too weak. Never mind. Only 5 salahs, but I'll give you the benefit of 50 salahs. Every part of our deen, Allah has made it very, very simple for us. So even the tawaf is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're so small, his houses, that Allah has made it easy for us. Apne Kaaba ka fera kiya mukhtasar, sahi bayt ki hai ye shane karam. This is what it mentions, that Allah has made the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif very, very small and easy. This is the great kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ko haram ke paharo pe sabza nahi hai, magar dosto paasbaan haram. Hazrat says, around the Haram Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed beautiful greenery and beautiful sites. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the mountains around the Kaaba Sharif, but there's no beautiful sites and beautiful sceneries. Otherwise, warna haji darakhton mein baithe huye, kemere mein leya karte hai baaghe haram. Otherwise, the hajis would have become distracted. They would have taken the cameras, sitting in the beautiful gardens, taking photos and enjoying themselves, having beautiful picnics, etc. And the object of coming to the Haram Sharif, they would have forgotten. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he's complaining in his time, maybe in the 1970s or that time when he went, he says, the first time I went to the Haram Sharif, it was very, very beautiful. There was no distractions. He said, but now the next time I went after that, I was very, very disappointed. Now the the shopping centers were open at night, and many people were unfortunately spending their time there. But Hazrat says that if a person goes with a sincere intention, then no matter what the environment around is there, if you go and you spend your time correctly, inshallah you will get the benefit of the haram. So Hazrat is saying here, but a man by nature is weak. If a person goes, he's very, very sincere, inshallah a person will save himself. But generally people now, they are going, shaitan has worked in other ways. He isn't the beautiful sceneries, but now they've got the beautiful malls there, and the beautiful shopping centers, and the beautiful things outside, beautiful hotels. People are looking at all of those things, and they want to see all the beautiful sights. So a person is wasting his time in those things. May Allah protect and save us. As I say, this is what Allah Ta'ala protect, made it such. There isn't beautiful scenery there. Imam Razi rahmatullah says under the ayat, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you look at the camels, how Allah Ta'ala created them. He said Allah Ta'ala could have used many, many other things, many other examples. But Allah used the mountains, Allah used the camel, Allah used the earth, because these things are not very beautiful. So in there a person will see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said if Allah Ta'ala had to give us example in this place of beautiful things, beautiful woman or something, then a person won't be looking at it because to see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be seeing it, doing it because of his own lust and desires. So he said Allah Ta'ala put the simple things. So that's why in the Haram Sharif also mountains, which are not like something which will attract a person, but a person can see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat says that when a person is going there, don't waste our time in these areas, in the wrong places. But the object we have gone there for, a person must use it to its full benefit. رَبَّ كَعْبَ سَبِي اور كَعْبَ سَبِي دُور کر دیتے ہم کو جِبَالِ حَرَم. Then the mountains of the Haram would have taken us, if they had all these beautiful sceneries there, it would have taken us far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Kaaba Sharif itself. So now a person doesn't want to be in Kaaba Sharif, he doesn't want to be there. But mashallah, till today there are those people, when they go to the Haram Sharif, only for sleeping maybe they leave the Haram Sharif, sleeping and eating. And the rest of the time, maybe like 16, 18 hours, they are all the time in the Haram. One person was telling me he went, he met one person there, they invited him for a meal. He said, I haven't come for meals. I just very little bit I eat, and I sleep a little bit. Besides that, I'm not in my room. All the time I'm sitting in the Haram. He was only here for 10 days. Yeah, I got time actually to stay out of my room. So to go for a dawah even to somebody's house. So there's nothing wrong with accepting a dawah from the people of Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara. But this shows how valuable these people regard the few seconds that we are staying in Makkah, Mukarramah, and Madinah, Munawwara. In paharo pe bhi hifz-e tawheed ka Rab ki janib se hai intizam-e haram. In these mountains, Allah Ta'ala has protected tawheed, his oneness. Where a person's heart will only be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he won't be wasting his time. This is the system which Allah Ta'ala has made of the haram. So he doesn't waste his time. There is protection of tawheed there. یہ بھی ہجرت کا ایک راز تقوین ہے ورنہ روزہ بھی ہوتا ہے جوار حرم. This is one special secret which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made of hijrat. Otherwise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's roza also would have been in the haram sharif. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah, he would have passed away there. He would have definitely buried him right near the Kaaba sharif. Everyone is going to visit now. They do not know whether they must turn their attention more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or send reading third kalima, fourth kalima in the haram sharif. Because now you want to make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, your love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. So what the system Allah made, one system, that hijrat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make hijrat. So the asik's heart, he would have come into two parts now. He doesn't know, must I turn my attention to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now it's so easy, you go to Makkah Mukarramah, your full attention can be in tilawat of Quran, third kalima, fourth kalima, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the person goes to Medina Munawwara, now he's full attention to rule upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading about the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this way, not very, very far also Allah has made it. So it's easy for a person in Makkah Mukarramah also, he can go and visit Medina Munawwara also. So this is one system which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made. The Hazrat says, Ja ke teba me de sabz gumbad pe ja, aur Makkah me ho ja fidae haram. A person can go to Madinah Munawwara and he can sacrifice his life on the green dome, thinking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting all the time in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sending upon durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he goes to Makkah Mukarramah, then he can sacrifice his life on the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. But watan ke bhi hijrat se sab gir gaye, su'e teba chale jab Nabi ke qadam. One great benefit of making hijrat also, the love which a person has for his homeland. This is one put also. There are many, many idols in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One idol is a person's homeland. A person loves the place where he is born, where he grew up. He doesn't like to leave it. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Madinah Munawwara, the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was automatically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah wanted to make them examples and stars of guidance for the rest of humanity. What sacrifice they have to make that to break that put, the desire of their houses. And they left everything for Allah's pleasure. And then Allah Ta'ala gave them Madinah Munawwara. And such a difficult imtihan, when they returned back to Makkah Mukarramah, they took over Makkah Mukarramah. The Fatah Makkah took place. But they were told by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can't even take your house back. You can't take one thing of yours back. Whoever the kuffar has taken now is theirs. It will never ever come back in the hands of the Muslims. And actually they felt pity for that person, Sa'd ibn Khawla radiallahu anhu, passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu felt sorry for him. They said maybe he lost all his sawab for Hijrah also. Even though it wasn't his fault, he passed away there. But they felt sorry for him. Then how could he have passed away in Makkah Mukarramah? Because we had left this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left Iraq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Makkah Mukarramah. Allah ta'ala gave him Sham. So when a person leaves, ulama write, when a person leaves anything for Allah's pleasure, then Allah will give him something far better. They see Ibrahim alayhi salam left his father, he left his house, he left all his pleasures and his desires, whatever, in Iraq, and he traveled, he made hijrah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's system is, ma khasira ala Allah ahad. Allah will never make a person lose out. So Allah ta'ala gave him a house far better than that. Ibrahim alayhi salam left his father, Allah gave him children who became Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father told him a lot of bad words. He was prepared to take it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made him lisan as-sidqin, aliyah. People spoke good of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Till the day of Qiyamah, they would speak good of him. Whoever leaves anything for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give him something far back in return. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarramah, Allah gave him Madinah Munawwara. And the most amount of barakah, the most amount of blessings a person will get is in Madinah Munawwara, because that is the greatest spot where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried. Even greater than Kaaba Sharif. Is a place, obviously Makkah Mukarramah is more virtuous, but Allah Ta'ala given Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because of the sacrifice, Allah given him such a great place, Madinah Munawwara, the masjid, 50,000 sawab a person gets from reading Salah there, and visiting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam there, a person the most amount of, the greatest place on the surface of the earth is where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's body is. So, this one benefit is that this idol of the hometown, it was destroyed when a person went for Hijrat. Aapke ghar mein aksar ki ye haziri, ek naahal par hai khuda ka karam. Hazrat say that, oh Allah Ta'ala, this haziri that coming to your mubarak and blessed house, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you allowed me to come here, I am not worthy of it. So make this is your karam and this is your grace, and bestow your grace upon me. Every one of us must have the desire also to visit Haramain Sharifain over and over again. If a person hasn't gone also, a person must have the desire within his heart. Once somebody went to Allama Shabir Rahman Usmani rahmatullahi alayhi and said, Hazrat, make dua, I want to go for Hajj. I haven't gone for Hajj, I got the desire. So Hazrat said, you got the desire, mashallah, how much have you saved up for it? He said, no, I haven't made any effort. He said, no, that's not the way. The way is you must show Allah Ta'ala you got the desire. You start saving up. Little bit of money also you put away. And then you see how Allah's help and assistance will come to you. So then the person will be shocked. Little bit the person puts away, how Allah's help and assistance will come to him. And Allah gave us tawfiq to go for Hajj. One lady that was there, she was 90 years old. From the age of 25 when she got married, or 18, she started saving money. And now she was 90 years old, and Allah had given her enough money. Now she made Hajj after 72 years. But she had the desire, Allah Ta'ala accepted that desire from a person. Allah give us all tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hazrat Kaab radiyallahu anhu mentions that ikhtarullahu zaman, Allah Ta'ala is the one who's not only created time, Allah Ta'ala has selected time. And minas zaman ikhtarullah ashharul hurum. From time, Allah Ta'ala has selected the four sacred months. Dhul-Qadah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. And thereafter he mentions, Kaab radiyallahu anhu mentions, that minal ashharul hurum ikhtara Dhul-Hijjah. Allah Ta'ala has selected the month of Dhul Hijjah. And from Dhul Hijjah, Awwal al-Ashr. The first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. This is a very, very Mubarak days, very, very Mubarak night. And it is mentioned in the Hadith that in these days we should increase in the third kalima. The least we can do is, after every Farz Salah, inshallah, Allah give us the tawfiq to read our Tasbih al-Fatimi. We're going to sleep as well, Tasbih al-Fatimi. 33 times, Subhanallah. 33 times, Alhamdulillah, 34 times, Allahu Akbar. This can work miracles as well. And Allah give us the tawfiq, then take the tasbih, read the third kalima, inshallah. Great fadilat has been mentioned. As the Shaykh Hamdulillah has written a separate chapter on the fadilat and the virtues of the third kalima. Similarly, on these days, we should try, there are 4 days left. Allah give us the tawfiq, we should try to fast, inshallah. One day fasting is equivalent to 1 year's fasting. And spending the night in ibadat, Allah give us the tawfiq, if we're going to fast, Then we'll wake up for tahajjud, inshallah. In the time of tahajjud, mubarak time, we should make istighfar, firstly, dua, secondly, and thirdly, we should make read surakas, whatever it is. So many ibadat a person can achieve at the time of tahajjud. Also, it is mentioned in Musannaf ibn Abi Hanifa, and also in other hadith kitab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, that man salla ba'da al-ishab arba'a rak'atin qabla an yakhruja min al-masjid adalla mithlahunna min laylatil qadr, or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that person who reads 4 rak'at salah after isha namaz, before he comes out of the masjid, then he will get the reward as if though he offered these 4 rak'at on laylatil qadr. Subhanallah. This we have opportunity every night, inshallah. These nights are Mubarak nights, every night Ibadah is equivalent to Laylatul Qadr. So here it is mentioned in Fathul Qadir, normally we read our 4 rakats Isha Salah. We are going to read 2 rakats Sunnat. And normally our habit is to read 3 rakats Witr. So it is mentioned, please read another 2 Nafil. That will amount to 4 rakats. So imagine reading these 4 rakats after Isha, 2 Sunnat and 2 Nafil. Then a person will get the reward of offering these 4 rakats on Laylatul Qadr. Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah. So these are very, very great nights, very Mubarak days. And from these days, Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam wal fajr wa layalin ashr wa shaf'i wal watr. By the qasam of the even and by the odd. Even the ulama extreme mufassirin mentioned the day of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, that is the day Yawmun Nahar, the day of Eidul Adha, the day of Eid. And Walwat, the Qasam of the Odd. And here the ulama explained that refers to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Similarly, in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَشَاهِدِي وَمَشْهُودِ, the attendant day and attended day. The attending day and attended day. So here the ulama explained, firstly mentioned, وَشَاهِد means that which comes every week, that is the day of Jumu'ah. وَمَشْهُود, that is the attended, and that is the day of Arafat, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So, few things we should try and do. Arafah comes from the word Arafah. That is the day we recognize Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Should remind us of the day of Qiyamah, where every on the plains of Arafat, every person will be standing behind his Imam, behind his Muallim, every person will be making dua. Just like on the day of Qiyamah, every Nabi will be standing, and every all the followers will be standing behind them, coming on the day on the plains of Mahshar. So it is a very, very great day, auspicious day. Firstly, we should try and fast on that day, inshallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever fasts on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Arafat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the person's sins of the previous year, as well as the forthcoming year. In other words, if a person who fasts on this day, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive the sins of 2 years of gunas. Also, Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi has mentioned that it's such a great day that Allah Ta'ala, it is mentioned in the hadith, apart from the day of the day of Badr, the battle of Badr, apart from that day, there is no other day in which shaitan is more rejected, more humiliated, more infuriated than the day of Arafat. Why? Because when he sees the throng, when he sees the waves of mercy of Allah Ta'ala coming, when Allah Ta'ala forgives, every small excuse Allah Ta'ala forgives, Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes in abundance. So even on that day, in Rajab Muhammad Rahmatullah, he mentioned that even those outside Arafat, we are seated here, we may be our country town, or in our city, even outside Arafat, Allah Ta'ala forgives those people too. That is why the next day is the day of Eid, the day of celebration, the day of happiness. So we should try and keep fast on that day. Second, it is mentioned in Hadith Majma'u Zawaid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever protects his eyes, his ears and tongue on a day of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of Arafat, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. So ya Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala just wants to give us. We just need to stay away from gunas, do what is the basic things, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will include us in His mercy as well. And also, on these days, we recite the third kalima, inshallah, on the Yawm al-Arafah, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. So we should try and increase in the fourth kalima, inshallah. And also make a lot of dua. It is a day of Thursday as well, Sunnah to fast on a Thursday. It is a day also we should try and make a lot of dua. Oh Allah, we are seated here in Azawal, we are seated in whichever town we are. Oh Allah, those who are standing in Arafat, Allah accept their duas. We will be thrown in, inshallah. Because they are making dua for the whole ummah, inshallah. And we should make dua, Allah granted Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Maqbool, inshallah. So these few things we can do, inshallah. Another aspect, this nine, from the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah to the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, for the period of 23 Salah, we will be reading the Takbirat al-Tashriq, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Now, we just, unfortunately, that me, myself, I'm addressing myself, we just read it as like as, something which is monotonous, something which is mechanical. Like Mala Ilyas Rahmatullah used to say, sometimes a person makes wudu, he doesn't realize what he is doing. And if a person only has that dhyan, that consciousness that I'm making wudu, oh Allah, that water is coming on my face, my hands, my feet, all this can be a means of my forgiveness, all the sins. So yeah, we are reading the Takbir al-Tashriq, then we should understand the greatness of Allah should come into our hearts. Sometimes a person just says it with his tongue. And he says with his tongue, Allah is great. But in his heart, the greatness of Allah hasn't settled in. That is why a person makes so much of gunas. But if the greatness of Allah comes in his heart, then inshallah, this is a very easy prescription during those days to stay away from gunas. And this outside the month of Hajj, also throughout the year, inshallah, this will be a prescription. And just realize how much of Allahu Akbar will be said on those days. For example, in Azan and Iqamat, Azan, calculating all the times Azan is given, 30 times Allahu Akbar is mentioned. In Iqamat, 30 times. In our Salah, including all of us, our Farad Salah, Witr Salah, Sunnat Salah, Nafil Salah, more than 250 times a person seeing Allahu Akbar. When Yusuf Rahmatullah has mentioned that take lesson, this is the first lesson, this is the first sabak, when a person lifts his hand and sees Allahu Akbar, that the greatness and the yaqeen and conviction of everything, of material things of the dunya should leave our heart. And only the greatness of Allah comes into our heart. And then we are also encouraged to recite the Tasbih Fatimi. So 6 times we recite it, that 34 times, that's more than 200 times Allahu Akbar. So in a day, if a person contemplates that he is either hearing the Allahu Akbar or he is mentioning the Allahu Akbar more than 450 times. And I imagine on the days of the Tashriq, every person is going to recite this Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, 4 times Allahu Akbar is mentioned. Then those hadiths are going to pal the shayateen. And plus minus 69, 70 pebbles they are going to take. And for every stone they are going to throw, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. In the days of Qurbani, every person is going to slaughter, inshallah. And before we slaughter, we say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. So how much of Allahu Akbar is going to be mentioned? Then we are going to the Eidgah. Yeah, again, we are told that read the takbirat loudly. And we should take one route, retire from another route. So imagine people are going to different routes to the Eidgah, some by car, some by walking. The whole atmosphere will be full with Allahu Akbar. So imagine how much of Allahu Akbar, how much of greatness on these days Allah Ta'ala's name will be taken. وَكَبِّرْهُ takbira. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned Allah Ta'ala's name excessively of His greatness, of His loftiness. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. After the ayat of Ikra Bismi, the Surah Muddathir was mentioned, Ya Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go and warn the people and mention the greatest. So what it means, once the greatest of Allah comes in our heart, the loftiness and greatness of Allah settles in our heart, then it will be easy for us to stay away from gunas, inshallah. So these are the Mubarak days, Mubarak nights, inshallah. We should turn to Allah, make dua, fast, inshallah, especially on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, make dua, read the fourth kalima, the third kalima. So these are the moments Allah Ta'ala wants to give us. Now we have to draw and take from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, the aspect of Qurbani, that many things can be said of Qurbani, but the great lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, this was a great test. وَفَضَيْنَاهُ بِذِبٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned that this was a great test and we replaced it with a great sacrifice. So yeah, what was the test? So a person will ask, what is the test? The test was either Ibrahim alayhi salam gives preference to deen or desire. Every father desire is the son grows up. We assist him when he grows big and the son should live. But the deen came and to curb those desires. That is why if a person, what is deen? Deen is to act according to the commands of Allah. And desire is that those things which Sharia has put a restriction upon, to do things within the framework of this, within the limits, within the boundaries, this is deen. And to go beyond the boundaries, to go beyond the limits, and this is desire. So in every aspect, we should understand, we should sacrifice our desires, but never sacrifice the command of Allah. Allah give us the tawfiq, inshaAllah.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلامٌ على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. These Mubarak days that we are having at this time, just the feeling that so much must be spoken about these days, and there are so great events. One is the Hajj itself, one is the 10 days of Zulhijjah, and then the Qurbani, that it must be coming out from our ears, from everywhere. And not that it must be coming out, rather it must be going in everywhere. And that we get completely, like ulama have written, when we go to Madinatul Munawwara, then read so much Durood Sharif, so much Durood Sharif, so much, that you become completely absorbed in Durood Sharif. That is when the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will come into a person. So Allah bless us that these are very, very Mubarak days. But unfortunately, they are just passing like that. If we ask ourselves, today is already the 5th of Zulhijjah. And that how many times have we read our 3rd kalima, our 4th kalima, we'll find that we find a lot of weakness within ourselves. And perhaps today we are 50 years old, 60, so we had 50, or rather 35, 40 years that we, when this Mubarak days came. How much did we observe these days? If we are 60, then how much did we observe these days? And Allah has given us this opportunity to come close to Him. Just one point before we carry on. We find that, yeah, Hazrat has written that if the mountains of Makkatul Mukarrama, if they were beautiful mountains like Switzerland, Eastern Transvaal, Eastern Cape, etc., many other places in the world, what beautiful, beautiful sceneries there are. Then the Hajis would have gone there with their cameras, and then they would have gone picnicking every day. Person should be packing his picnic basket every morning. Today we're going to that spot, today we're going to that spot. And the reality of the Hajj and of going to visit Allah Ta'ala, that should not have been there. But at the same time, see that these great lovers of Allah, he also has used the word, the Jibale Haram, the mountains of the Haram should have distracted us. But these are those same people, we see those mountains, especially when we are traveling and we see those stones burn black on those mountains. But in there, Hazrat sees the love of Allah Ta'ala. And how Hazrat praises, Ya Jibal al-Haram, Ya Jibal al-Haram, that they are there, Hazrat says, to protect the Haram. One aspect of protecting the Haram is that Allah made them like this, plain and simple. So everyone is just in the Haram all the time. They are not coming here for picnics, etc., to see some waterfalls, some beautiful pond there, some beautiful lakes there. No, they are all in the Haram, and they are taking their maximum benefit there. But the enemy is also working all the time. Today they aren't the beautiful picnic spots there, but with all the shopping places, etc., entertainment centers also now, Allah Ta'ala protect us, and for all that we should prepare before time. Then we will get this great, great benefit of this auspicious places. And if we prepare also ourselves, and that is the purpose why we have our majalis, etc. Ulama have different programs in different parts of the world, in the country, in the world. And everywhere all these things are being spoken about. So all this is so that this importance of these days can come into our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq that we can understand what the great value of these days are. A little bit on Hajj, we have heard a lot. Most of us have made Hajj also. But just to again talk about it. And this is something Like for example, now on Eid occasion, any social occasion, people will be interacting, meeting, etc. Somebody comes with her child, a mother, and how cute the child is to the mother, and she will talk, it's not interesting anyone else. But for her, it's something that means so much to her. So Allah make it that this talking, the other people of the world can say, this doesn't appeal to us. But talking of Hajj, talking of the days of Zulhijjah, may Allah make it that it brings enjoyment into us. Just the thought of these things, may Allah make it, it brings great, great enjoyment into our hearts. So always, this Hajj every year is taking place. And mashallah, previously there were plenty, and still till now, with all the regulations, there are people who are still going every year for Hajj. May Allah Ta'ala make this also commonplace. And these lovers, and how they love to go for Hajj. Every year they make it a point that we will be going for Hajj. And not only for Hajj, but the ordinary people, what we will say. They are not like great, outwardly pious people, or ulama, or anything like that. But they make that Hajj, and they make it to the finest, minute detail, according to Sunnah also. And they go, because they're going every year, they're not a burden on anyone. I've seen such people making their little breakfast themselves, and making their little lunch or whatever, very humbly and doing it themselves. And then the Hajj itself, and the adab, and the respects of the place, to the finest detail. For their own personal self, they're sleeping, just wherever they get a place to sleep. Eating, whatever little they get, they eat. But on the other hand, their ibadah is 100% full. On the other hand, are people like us, like me, that our food, and that we want everything properly. And wherever we have to chop and cut, it is on our ibadah. If we couldn't finish our ma'amulat, or we had some work, there was a mayyat, there was a wedding, there was to help out somebody or something. Now, there are things which we couldn't do. But our food and then sleeping, that we'll still see is properly. Yes, we'll cut out. Today I couldn't manage my Yasin Sharif. Today I couldn't manage my Awwabin. I couldn't manage that. It's excused. It is excused also. But the real thing is that our Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah give us all tawfiq, me and everyone. He says on some occasion if we missed our ma'amulat, our wazifah that we have to read, he says skip your meal. But finish your ma'amulat. But who of us will do that? We saw in our Tabligh Jamaat, our brothers, that old workers, at the beginning we used to say, that it's 11 at night, 11:30, all are gone to sleep. And they were busy. New brothers came, ulama came, and to introduce them to the work, to explain the work, they spent time with them. Now they couldn't do all the ma'amulat. 11:30 they starting, 12 o'clock, doing Bara Tasbih at night, 12 o'clock, reading all the, completing the tilawat of Quran Sharif, completing the Surah Waqiyah, Surah Tabarak Alladhi, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, but we, the flimsiest excuse, and we miss it out. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So these days here, the days of Hajj is a great, great ibadah. That Allah Ta'ala says, Inna awwala baytin wadi'a linnas. The first house that Allah says that we have placed on the surface of the earth, linnas, for the benefit of mankind, by which mankind will benefit. So this was, either it was the very first house, or the first house for the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And the worship of Allah, the Kaaba Sharif is the first place, the Malaika put the foundation, and herein lies the great, great benefit of mankind. From there we understand that in deen is our benefit. We see our worldly benefit in dunya. For deen we might think it's for akhirah. But really all our benefit, even of dunya, is in deen. And if we can see that, and our elderly people or people of the old, that they did not have, they were not ulama as such. They did not know much masail, but Allahu Akbar, how they held on to deen. And because of that, what barakat Allah Ta'ala had given them. How they had progressed, even in dunya, how they had progressed. And as far as deen is concerned, they were so firm. Now the day, one friend phoned me, and his son is at school. So he says that everyone is pressing, he must complete his matric, he will be earning. And also people come to the schools and encourage them, become engineer, become doctor, you will earn so much. He says, I was forced out of school when I was in standard 6 in those days. But he says, I'm earning much more than all what the doctors and lawyers are earning also. And he says, I've got a very peaceful life also. His ibadat all on its place. And he's earning, really, he's earning so much. So this is, where, and he says, all this he learned from his grandfather. And from where did he learn? His grandfather taught him to scrub floors. From there he's learned to wash the tools every day and make sure that they are clean. All those basic things. And he says, today Allah is giving me so much that, and mashallah, he spends also. Wherever he finds an opportunity where he can spend, he's ready to spend. And looking for, not that somebody goes to him, he goes and look for opportunities where he can spend. Allah Ta'ala, this is what how Allah Ta'ala gives. So the deen is the thing. And Allah made the Kaaba Sharif for this benefit. And it comes also in a riwayat, a person who makes Hajj will never become poor. So Hajj is such an ibadah that Allah grant us Hajj. Not just a tour of Hajj, Hajj tour. No, but Allah grant us what Hajj is and we will benefit from these things. And everything in the Hajj, Allah Ta'ala has kept as a great lesson for us to learn. Where Allah Ta'ala said, فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. In there, in the Kaaba, in the whole operation of Hajj, Allah says there are ayat, plural. Many, many signs, bayyinat, very open and clear Allah has presented them. So any person, for example, one time one friend narrated that they were watching a live Hajj, so with a non-Muslim friend in another country, in a non-Muslim country. So now the time for namaz came. So the Muslim friend asked his non-Muslim friend, they're going to be standing up for prayers now. And you can see how all are sitting. And we know before namaz, somebody is making tilawat, somebody is lying down, all different people. So he says, now they're going to stand up. How long do you, and the stuffs have to be straight when you make your salat. So how long do you think it will take them? So he saw, so he says about 15 minutes. So he says, but remember, there is a basement also, there is the top floor, and there is the right top floor also. So he says, then about 45 minutes. But as soon as the imam said, Safu sufu fakum, make yourself straight. فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ السُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That making the stuff, so he saw immediately all the stuff which are made. And when it is seen like that from an aerial point of view, it looks odd. When we are there, we know that still the stuff are not 100% correct. But how it looks at any picture with all the musallis, you see all the stuff are made. On that he accepted Islam. That what is the fihi ayatu bayyinat, what clear signs Allah Ta'ala has kept there. And the Zamzam, which is a living miracle also. Everything, our Quran Sharif is a living miracle. As Maulana explained, that for any person to learn in English, which is our language today unfortunately, but to learn one page in half an hour, and some in 5 minutes. For 10 minutes they learn one page. In English time, poems they learn, poetry, etc. You can't learn it like that. And yeah, in most cases, it is known for life then. After the child has learned it, he knows it for life. So what? These are all our whole deen. So many animals will be slaughtered now. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful example our Buzur gave about Qurbani. That he says that nobody eats dogs. So there are some people who eat dogs and that, but generally in the world, nobody eats dogs. And when dogs, the female dog, when she gives birth to about 7-8 puppies at a time, more also, whole lot. So logically, and when nobody eats dogs, so the whole place should be infested with dogs. There should be just dogs, dogs, dogs everywhere. And when sheep and goats, they only give birth to one or two at a time at the most. And how many are slaughtered ordinarily, not by Muslims, non-Muslims. In the avatars, if we go and see how many are being slaughtered every day. In the whole world, how many are being slaughtered. So logically it should be, there should be no goats and sheep left over. Qurbani time in the whole world. And in Mina, how many are being slaughtered? Really, if we have to work out our calculation, there should be no sheep and goats left. But we see that there is enough all the time. Yeah, in my, what I don't remember that ever there was any flu of the sheep or goats. Birds we get, chicken. Bird flu, now chicken is going to be scared. Difficult to get. But the sheep and goats, you get all the time. And the prices can go up also all the time. But still, they are being consumed all the time. And that's a very important point, just some miscellaneous points, that many of us, the common talk every year before Qurbani starts, I think this year the prices are going to be very high. This last year's prices, last year also, every year the same talk, that this year the prices are going to be very high. So it might be high, but your cell phone, how much one cell phone costs? And let your cell phone be lost or something, there is no delay in replacing it. So for the Qurbani, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسًا. Open your heart and make your Qurbani. Spend your wealth, and this will be your animal with everything of it will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. That will be the day, then we will wish that I had spent much more on my Qurbani. Where I was spending so much on my cell phone, where I was spending so much on this contract and that contract, that I spent on my Qurbani and made more and more Qurbani. And Allah reward the brothers, the spirit is becoming alive in the whole world, people everywhere. We sending to India, but India people, for example, from the big cities, Bombay, Delhi, they send to the remote areas, and they know more better where it is and how much it is required, and they send Qurbani there. Same way with iftari. Allah has made the iftari of Ramadan also such a thing that people throughout the world, whether it's Malaysia, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's Malawi, any part of the world, for the poor people in the village areas, people are sending. And those people, what iftari don't they get? And they make it a condition, for it is for those who kept roza and for those who didn't keep roza. It is for the Muslims, even if some Muslims come, let them also eat. So this comment this year, this is a great, great quality of Muslims. May Allah bring it back into us to always be kind to visitors, to guests, to zuyuf, to our host, to our guests. This is a very important aspect. May Allah bring these qualities into us. So this is all with Hajj and with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the master in this field. On one occasion, he invited a Magian, a person, a fire worshipper, to have meals with him. And he told him, read Bismillah and eat. So that person said, with one meal, you want to buy me out? I must send out my religion? I must read the name of your Allah? And I must become a Muslim? I must take the name of your Allah and eat? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you don't want to take Allah's name, then there's the door. You go. Allah is feeding us. He is giving us. And you don't want to take His name? So he went away. So strong he was on his deen. But then Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Oh Ibrahim, he's worshipping his fire whole life. His fire never can feed him. What can a fire feed you? It's not your God. It can't do anything. I fed him in spite of him worshipping the fire. You could not feed him one meal also. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam immediately stood up, left his meal, went and looked for him. And then he told him, please, that whatever name you want to take, in whose name you want to eat, but come and eat. So he says, why the sudden change of heart? Why have you come? He says, but Allah said He's feeding you since you were born. And though you are worshipping the fire that can do nothing for you, and He's feeding you, so I couldn't feed you one meal. He accepted Islam immediately. So this is Barat. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the king and father of this. He wouldn't eat without a guest. And today, unfortunately, our condition is very, very different. And the Hajj is all with Ibrahim alayhi salam. When we go there, it is to imbibe the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and which were 100% in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a great Nabi Allah Ta'ala has given us. So if we prepare all the time in this way, then we will get all these great, great benefits. So Allah make it a standard feature for us to read and to prepare about Hajj also. Even if it is just a little while every day, but some aspect of Hajj to keep us occupied with this great, great honorable institution which Allah Ta'ala has given us. One great ibadat also, that continuously we should make shukr to Allah that He has given us this great institution. That He has given us the institution of Hajj. He has given us Quran Sharif. He has given us Tahajjud, a time when you're just speaking to Allah Ta'ala. And from your heart, the words just flow and you are speaking to every Shia, Azan when we hear. What a great thing. And if we think of the Azan also, throughout the world, 24 hours Azans are taking place. Due to time differences, and then again, Alhamdulillah, the difference we have in our Mazahib. Shafis read Awwal waqt, Hanafis read little later. So in Zuhar, there will be different times of Azan. For Asr, there will be Isha. As soon as time is in, Shafis will give Azan. Hanafis will wait a little while, then they will give other. So, and the time differences in the world, every split second there is Azan carrying on in the world. This is what the deen Allah has given us. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Madinatul Munawwara, what sacrifices he was being made. And Allah, he knew the promises of Allah, the power of Allah, the help of Allah. But Allah made it that even Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam, all the sahaba, the most elite after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, but what sacrifices they had to go through. All this was to teach us till the day of Qiyamah. If you want deen to come alive, it is in these sacrifices that deen becomes alive. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So this Hajj is a great, great lesson for us to take this. Then the 10 days of Zulhijjah, which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, these are also very great and honorable days. Allah make it that the realization of it comes more and more in us. And one great thing that we have to observe is to stay away from guna during these days. All types of guna. And we are involved in many types of guna. Guna of the eyes is so common. And the more a person becomes conscious of it, the more he realizes that these, we thought it was easy. But now to stay away from the gunas of the eyes, you see it becomes, as you become conscious more of it, more it becomes difficult. Like for example, a person might think, I'm a safe driver. But when one day you get a ticket because you did stop at a stop street, you were always slowing down and you thought, I'm a safe driver. But now you realize, no, I was not a safe driver, I thought I was. Now I see that at the stop street, I hardly ever stopped at a stop street. And all the time you're thinking, I'm a good driver. I stop at a good driver, he stops. Where it stops, you stop. But now you realize you are not. The same way in our deen also. The more we become conscious of our deen, the more we find that we are not what we thought we were. That I was practicing. And in this also, we get deceived by quite a few things. One is that our topi, beard, our outward appearance. And this also we should think that wherever we are. The other day, one friend of ours who's here from America, and mashallah, he's got great, great principles in life. So you're speaking to one person, he had a topi on. He said, you got a topi on. But do you know what that topi means? It means honesty. But that topi means loyalty. That topi means that how many things are in that topi? But for us, a topi is a topi. And we got a topi on, and it makes no difference how we're using our eyes. When you've got a topi on, you are now saying, I'm the ambassador of Islam. I'm the representative of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with the topi on, and then more with the beard again, more with our sunnah dress, women in their burqas, more the responsibilities come with all these things. So we should realize who we are representing. And we are making it known, I'm a representative of the deen of Islam. So during these days, to stay away from gunas, all gunas. And there are certain other gunas, like thinking low about people, which is so common, it just comes into a person. And a person will feel himself to be so evil. That's why do I always think low about other people. And this is such that even while we're in the masjid, and while somebody walks in, and there his whole history file opens on us. Now we think this person is like this. Or somebody is making namaz. Today Allah gave him tawfiq to make namaz with khushu wa khudu, concentration and devotion. We say, I know this person, what he was. And now look at him, he's making namaz like this. Or somebody comes and meet us to go, he's going for hajj. Instead of being happy, oh, your history, now you're going for hajj. What you going for hajj? What are you going to be doing there? These things, shaitan attacks us in so many ways. And we make ourselves happy that we're thinking low. And in that also, shaitan makes us happy to think you are pious. And that person has got these faults, he's got that fault, and I am pious. And until a person doesn't think he's the worst of the creation of Allah, he hasn't tasted piety. What we hear from our wuzurs, Allah let it come into us, this reality also. So, gunas to stay away. And then gunas on the day of Eid, which have also, Allah reward the ulama who have highlighted these things. Like for example, to slaughter animals, vie with one another. It's very good in good deeds to vie, to try and do more good deeds. But to the extent that now pride comes into a person, that should not happen. That now you want to outdo somebody, that you want to slaughter a better animal, but just for pride, that I slaughtered a better animal. To slaughter for the pleasure of Allah, and this is also something which is very, very delicate issue. Just to illustrate that, with regard to that, a Hajj example. On one occasion, there are many incidents like this reported, that two farishtas or a group of farishtas were walking in Arafat. And after the Hajj, now the people had completed Arafat or in Mina. And the one was asking the other one, how many people's Hajj got accepted this year? So the other one said, nobody. Nobody's Hajj is accepted. So he said, then all these people's Hajj, their sacrifices, what has happened? The other one said, Allah has accepted everyone's Hajj because of one Haji who hasn't come for Hajj. What is that Haji who didn't come for Hajj? He was a cobbler, a shoemaker. Now, for the shoemaker to save money to go for Hajj, how many years won't it take him? And just as Maulana also had explained, and this was the thing, and Allah give us tawfiq. Many of us, we like to go in Jamaat, but we don't have the means. We want to go for Hajj, but I will put away our 2 cents, put away our 1 rand every day. And there are so many incidents. First, it was famous about Cape Town that the ladies should do clothes washing, but they should put their tiki, about 2.5 cents, this is our Hajj money. And finally, they used to go for Hajj. So when we show that real interest, I want to go in Jamaat, this is for my Jamaat. I want to go for Hajj, this is for my Hajj. And we put away Allah gives barakat. And there are many instances, we're not going into all of them. But this person here, this cobbler, he was saving up for Hajj. So the 1 year now, he had almost enough money to go for Hajj. And at the same time, it happened that his wife was expecting. She was pregnant. And usually a woman in pregnancy, she desires for something, sometimes sour, bitter, just different kinds of things. The neighbors, they had cooked meat, and the smell of the meat came into their house also. And she desired. And they were very close with the neighbors, very friendly. So she went and she asked for some meat. She wanted to eat. So they said, this meat is halal for us, it is haram for you. It was carrion, and they had reached that stage of poverty that they had nothing to eat whatsoever. And to save their lives, they just could eat this year what they found, this carrion, a dead bird, whatever, a chicken, whatever it might be. So it's halal for us, we are in this condition. You're not in that condition. For you it is haram. She told her husband, he took all that Hajj money and he gave it to her. So this is now that sincerity. That to please Allah, to go for Hajj was also to please Allah. But at this moment, to please Allah loved it so much that because of that action of his, Allah accepted all the people's Hajj. One person's hajj, Allah accepted everyone's hajj. So this sincerity, Allah Ta'ala bless us. And to achieve this, otherwise we just want to do what I like to do. I say for hajj, I must go for hajj, it's finished. I want to go in jamaat, I must go in jamaat, it's finished. I and all our great and auspicious things. But this year, that first that contact with Allah, in which lies Allah's happiness, that a person has to see. And then to get that courage, at that time, Shaitan will put so many thoughts into a person. To remain firm on that is not easy also, only whom Allah chooses. And this all we have to do, we have to beg of Allah for His special favors, and that He draws us and pulls us towards Him. So these 10 days also, the ibadat of these 10 days, a person will desire to do a lot of other things, but it comes clearly that Allah, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, during these days, the most Allah loves is that He must be worshipped during these 10 days of the whole year. And that worship is also so easy, it has been made for us. It is just a reading third kalima. And again here, Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that not only the words that we read, but subhanallah, that Allah is pure. Allahu Akbar. Ulama have taught so beautifully that the ayat of the Quran Sharif, where Allah Ta'ala says that Allah intends to purify the family of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say, don't translate it like that. There's a wrong translation. Allah wants to keep on keeping them pure. In Muzari, they are pure. And Allah is going to keep on keeping them pure. Not that Allah is going to purify them. That gives a complete different impression. But that Allah, they are pure, and Allah is going to keep on keeping them pure. So Allah, subhanallah, Allah is pure. And we are saying Allah is pure all the time. And in return of that, Allah says, you said I'm pure, I am pure, whether you say it or not. If nobody says it also, but by the barakat of that, I will purify you. And then a person with the same with Alhamdulillah. So these words are very great and very loved. As Maulana explained also, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has devoted a whole chapter on the great virtues of these words and what rewards they are. Just Alhamdulillah. Also we should try and get into the habit. Many of us, how are you? I'm fine. If just in return we should have said Alhamdulillah, what a reward we have gained. And also see how our deen, some places we still err and slip up. For a person who has passed away, we say the late. It means he has passed away. If we just say marhum so and so, we have made a dua for the person. Marhum, may Allah's rahmat be on him. What a great dua you have made for that person. And all who have passed away, and even the living, whatever duas we make, it reaches them. And whatever isal sawab we make, it reaches them, and they benefit from it tremendously. The people who have passed away, they get the benefit, and they appreciate it very, very much. And how many such instances are narrated, where they clearly, there's clear proof of it also, and clearly it shows that this reaches them. So anyway, our vocabulary also, we must try and get it right all the time. And we use the correct words at the correct time. So these, the words also are so valuable, and more the reality of it comes into us. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq during these days that we try and keep our tongue more occupied. Third kalima, fourth kalima, du'as we make, istighfar and tawbah we make, tilawat of Quran Sharif we make, what we know as ibadat, we try to increase it all. And to have an affinity, a feeling with the Qurbani animals. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to fatten the animals. They should give them such feed. And till today there are places where people feed the animals for Qurbani with valuable things like pistas. How expensive are not pistas? All these things they feed. So when we have that feeling for the animal, we'll give it the best grain also. And we look after them. We saw with our own eyes in Reunion, they took us to a farm, Muslim person's farm, and he's only on his farm he rears Qurbani animals, oxen. And what sizes, really, very, very, very big oxen. And the person, one alim friend of ours, he was here at the moment also, he explained to us, one animal weighs more than 1 ton, 1,000 kilos. And big animals, real big animals. And they cost between 10 and 15,000 euros. That's about 150 to about over 200,000 euros for one animal. And that also, they do it with great enthusiasm and feeling. Not that, imagine one share out of over 200,000, but they do it with feeling. And they have the art of slaughtering. Their yards in many cases are not so big. Some got big yards, but in a small, restricted place, and with great ease and comfort, they do that qurbani. We have a about it. We have printed, Mawlana Musa, as mashallah, some about the qurbani, the do's and don'ts, that what things we should avoid in the qurbani. We have printed that, and we'll be giving out on Tuesday, inshallah. Try and get a copy. You're going to do good, must not happen to do, we do harm. So even slaughtering, let us learn to slaughter properly under the guidance of somebody who can teach us, especially if it's a big animal. Don't make the animal suffer. And don't let it become that the animal gets loose and runs away and all that. It must be done properly. Even the sheep, the goat, learn properly and teach our children. This has to carry on after us. So teach our children also to do it. So this qurbani also, we must get involved. But a few common things that we are making big mistakes about. We want to do some good ibadat, some good things, but we are doing a lot of wrong in that. One is with regard to the animals, of the slaughtering of the animals. If we're not using a sharp knife, it must be absolutely sharp. And when we slaughter, let us not slice bread or like sawing, we're going up and down. One clean cut we should try. Very quickly we should try and cut. And also, don't slaughter in the presence of other animals. We slaughtered one, we're bringing another one. Or, where animals are being cleaned, they also have got life, they also understand the animals. And don't give them one death, don't give them 10 deaths. We are torturing the animal, putting it through all that. And also, try and keep the other animals away from this animal here, that is being slaughtered. So there are many things which have been printed, and they are very, very helpful advices and very important, so we do it correctly. One very important thing in there, which we used to encourage also, that women must slaughter. But that must be done with the proper rules completely. If it is in a public place, then inadvertently there is bepardagi, which is a haram thing. To do a mustahab thing, and we are doing it through a haram, that is not correct at all, it's not logical at all. And today, the sad part which Allah protect us, the videoing. No more photo taking, now it is videoing the whole process. And just to video the animal or take a photo of the animal, it's also an animate object. We are destroying all our nature. And then also the worst thing is the spirit of qurbani is going out. And to get the spirit of qurbani, we should do it properly as it's supposed to be done. How qurbani is supposed to be done. But with this photo taking, etc., the whole spirit is lost. So we'll be making qurbani, just for example, we all can understand, on the 27th night of Ramadan, or the night when Quran Sharif is being made khatam, 29th night, most places now in the Haramain Sharifain also, and Haramain Sharifain, what du'as are not made. And how many millions of people not saying Ameen on those du'as, who are present there. And maybe on the TV, throughout the world, people are also perhaps saying Ameen on the du'as at that time. But in the condition of the ummah, we see it's deteriorating. It's not improving, unfortunately. So at least let us now wake up. And why is this? And not only there in the Haramain Sharifain, Quran Sharif Khatam is being made throughout the world. And what du'as are being made? But why? What is happening when all these du'as in the month of Ramadan, at the end of, at the Khatma of Quran Sharif, and all these du'as are being made, and still we see what the condition of the ummah is, then we must reflect of the gunas also which we are committing. that how many gunas we are involved in. There are many gunas which are done privately. And the punishment also comes like that. If we did not make tawbah, it comes also normally privately. Gunas that we are making, our own personal gunas, but open gunas which we are making. In the name of deen, the gunas that we are committing, those are very, very serious. And that is where we have to make a lot of tawbah and correct ourselves. Now Qurbani will be taking place, we will be happy that, for example, in Azadwal, about so many animals were slaughtered. Rudy put so many animals in the worldwide, how many animals? But all that slaughtering, how much is it being done properly? And how many wrongs are being committed? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we correct ourselves in all these matters. This is also very, very important. So the Qurbani, the 10 days of Hajj and Zulhijjah and the Hajj, all these ibadat, let us try and talk about it in our homes, with our friends, wherever it is, more and more bring it alive. Let everyone understand. I was asking a friend, is enough spoken? He says that still the people, it's not enough. It's not coming still into us as it's supposed to come. So the more and more we have to speak on it. Allah reward the ulama. How many articles are out today on the internet also, then printed material also, bayans have been given in so many different places also. But normally shaitan also tells us, this is about Hajj and you know about it. It is about Qurbani, you know about it. But Allah make the reality to come into our hearts and we realize the value of it. And the Qurbani, after slaughtering it, Allah give us that we release and eat the Qurbani meat. This is ziyafat from Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali during these, and also one important point, 3 days Qurbani can be made, 10th, 11th and 12th till Asr time. But the 13th, no Qurbani can be made, but to keep Roza is also haram. On that day still no Roza. So it seems there is an indication that that is also, now you have done all your Qurbani, you are finished, now enjoy yourself, eat the meat. And in the Arab lands, this is the what's called it, spirit that is there. These days of Qurbani is like a whole wonderful atmosphere. And this is the days when Allah is inviting the people. Da'wat from Allah Ta'ala. So how happy shouldn't we be? So therefore Allah made on the 13th also, Roza is haram. Qurbani's time is finished. Now eat also. During these days to eat of the Qurbani meat, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, I said, during these days he should only eat Qurbani meat. Not even roti. Nothing else, no rice, no nothing, only Qurbani meat. And because it is a when you're getting Allah's da'wat, how much better to have Allah give us that, and as Maulana explained also, the takbir, Allahu Akbar. How much we are saying it, but the greatness of Allah is not coming into us. So when the greatness of Allah will come, it will change the world. With the greatness, Maulana Yusuf Saab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, all I want is that the greatness of Allah must come in the people. Once that greatness of Allah will come into our heart, it will change the whole surface of the earth. Everything will change. But we are just saying it verbatim, we are just saying it like on a tape recorder, a recording we are saying it, that reality is not in us. Like we put on a CD and it's saying the takbir, etc. But there is no reality in it. It's reading the Quran Sharif, but we also have become like that. We just reading, but that reality is not coming. And a human is that those the sentiments must be there also. May Allah give us tawfiq. We make a little bit zikr now, but our zikr today will be only, we all read softly, just with a little sound, third kalima and fourth kalima. That is all. So that at least we can read these what Allah loves so much during these days. And to get the greatness of these days, just visualize the takbirat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. How great these days are. And to align ourselves with the hajis, just read the talbiyah in our mind, labbaik. Immediately your mind goes to hajj, etc. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik.